This is the Happy Station, broadcasting to North and South America on 9,955 kilohertz from 1 to 155 UTC and from 15 to 1555 UTC.
Of course, as you can tell by the opening, that means our program is special today. And what is so special about today's edition of the Happy Station? Well, let's see. We're going to talk about songs. Now, there have been songs about love. There have been songs about divorce. There's been songs about sadness. Songs about, well, coffee, like we heard last week. Songs about illness, even. And of course, songs about radio, like, you know, Radio Gaga by Queen and many, many others. But the songs on today's program are going to be not just about radio, but amateur radio. That's right, the ham bands. And there is a CD out there made of songs about ham radio. So we're going to find out who these people are and take a listen to some of the songs off that CD. So enjoy the show. Keith Pallon here with you all the way, of course, in Taipei, Taiwan. So let's kick off right away with the group called The Ham Band. Yes, that's the name of the group, with a song called Always on the Air.
Good old friend of mine got married to a radio hand like I did, and they were happy at the start. Then they began to drift apart, because he's always on the air, my friend confided. Morse code devotee. He was an expert on the key. At 40 words a minute, and sometimes faster, he would while the hours away with the same hand every day. And I could see that marriage heading for disaster, 'cause he was always on the air. It really wasn't fair, Morsing to some man who wasn't there. Just like a crazy love affair, it drove her to despair. It seemed like he was always on the air. Now I bet you think I say, she packed her bags and she moved away. But instead she got the license and the Morse key. Started Morsing more and more to her husband's paramour. Was the husband's turn to feel like a divorcee, 'cause she was always on the air. It really wasn't fair, Morsing to some man who wasn't there. Just like a crazy love affair, it drove him to despair. It seemed like she was always on the air. Then after a while, when she knew her Morse friend well, they met and fell in love in California. So all you crazy hams, spare a thought for your madame. And if you don't, then don't say I didn't warn ya. 'Cause if you're always on the air, it really isn't fair, Morsing to some man who isn't there. So if you're always on the air, you'll drive her to despair. She'll end up in some crazy love affair.
Always on the air, the Ham Band from the CD Seeking You, Amateur Radio Songs. Yes, you heard me correctly. Songs about the amateur radio world. So that's what our topic is today. The Ham Band was formed a number of years ago by a couple living in Denmark. They are Britisher, if I can call him that, Andrew John, and his Danish wife, Lisa Lenfogd. And they recorded a CD, like I just mentioned, called Seeking You, Amateur Radio Songs. So today they are my special guest, and we connected up via the internet to have a conversation about the songs on the CD and about amateur radio. Lisa and Andrew, you guys are rather amazing because just recently, about a few weeks ago, I was checking around on the internet and I came across an interview that you did with Bob Zanotti, who appears on the Happy Station from time to time. Talking about, of all things, well, music, that's not so unusual, but music about ham radio. Now, I've heard music about many different things, but this is the first time that I came across music about ham radio, and when I found a video that you did online, I was very surprised to see you, Andrew, clutching to the antenna, singing this song.
Well, I would say not clutching to the antenna. I wasn't afraid of falling off. We have safety harnesses on there. What people really observe is the fact that Lisa is also on the tower, which is quite astonishingly amazing because she's afraid of heights, which I'm not. But we were up there singing the song, and it was a lot of fun.
So let's get to this. I mean, how did you come up with this idea to record some songs about ham radio? This is very unusual, I have to say.
Well, I can tell you that normally when you write songs about things you think other people will understand. So a lot of people have written songs about love, and a lot of people have written songs about all sorts of things that they think other people will be interested in hearing about. Now, I happen to know there are several million radio amateurs in the world, so I thought, well, why not write some songs that only they will understand? And that's what we did. And it's been a lot of fun, and a lot of people who spend the time to actually listen to the words, they realize that that it's a fun hobby, and it's you know, it's a little bit like shortwave listening, except it's a little bit more two-way. So it's it's a great thing. So that's why we did it.
Now, the thing that's fascinating about it is that when I listen to it, I mean, I will occasionally listen to hams on the shortwave bands themselves. And sometimes, actually, I enjoy listening in. And it's something that I wish that I was able to do, even though I listen. I know nothing about Morse code, and I've don't even have a ham license. But I always found it fascinating to listen to. And at the same time, your CD, what is amazing about it is that even if people are, let's say, just your average shortwave listeners and not really ham listeners, they would also find it interesting.
But it is interesting. It's the fact that we talk to people all over the world. And I know that people will say internet is just as good, but I can tell you, you can tell a true radio ham because they are always looking up at the antenna and they are looking up at the sky, because the sky or the ionosphere is what makes it possible to talk to people thousands and thousands of miles away. And that's what we do every single day. And I want to tell people about it, but it's very difficult because you can just pick up the phone. But Lisa once said, it's just like going fishing, because you don't know who you're going to talk to. Whereas if you pick up the phone and call someone, you know who you're going to talk to. So that's Lisa's interpretation.
So what was your inspiration for the songs on the CD? Were you looking up at the antenna and went, oh, I have an idea, and just started writing it down?
I have to say that radio hams have got a very bad press, but in my opinion, justifiably. A lot of these people are really boring, boring people. And that is a problem. But I say that one or two or three out of every 10 or 15 or 20 you talk to become lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. And they want to talk about everything under the sun. And you meet people from the strangest places doing the strangest kind of jobs. One of my favorites is a chap up in the north of England who works in a timber yard. He just drives a forklift truck, and he has a ham radio station in the truck, and he works from 9 to 5 every day and talks to people all over the world at the same time as he's driving the forklift truck. Now, that is strange, and that is different. And these stories, I've just collected the stories and written songs that fit. You know, it's a little bit of a country type sound, but it's not, because country is and the radio hams, you know, there's no real connection between the two. But it's the kind of romantic stuff as well. You know, the one of Lisa's songs is called The Radio Widow, and it's just the fact that a lot of people who are radio hams tend to use a lot of time on the radio. And so we've even written songs that cover the marriage, the problem with the amount of time it takes, and it's a lot of fun. You can hear all the men laughing, and you know, I don't know what the women say about it. We don't get that much feedback from them, unfortunately.
So when you recorded the album, what I found that was amazing, I mean, you both live in Denmark, but yet you recorded it in Nashville, Tennessee. Why is that?
Well, it is a dream for us. It's a very long story, but the end, you know, the absolute serious reason for it is that
if you can work with the best musicians in the world, and even named musicians, the people on this album, the Hamband CD, include Pig Robbins, who played with Elvis, and then Kenny Buttrey, the drummer, who played on most of the Neil Young hits that you've heard of. And these are legends. You know, the guitar player who didn't die in the Buddy Holly air crash, he plays the bass on this album. It's absolutely an astonishing collection of legends. And, you know, they're just doing a job. And it just, they play a lot better than we do. Let's put it that way. So we would, and you know, Nashville is a nice little town, and friendly people, and it's just the best way to make music, in our opinion.
So after you wrote the songs, you contracted the musicians in Nashville, Tennessee. What was the reaction from the musicians saying, "Oh, we're working on a session for Songs About Ham Radio"? Was there any reaction at all?
The strangest thing about Nashville is there is one thing they do not like. They do not like you to be unsure of yourself. So when you walk into the studio and you say, "This is what I want," they're happy. And they don't question it. They just play, and it's great. But if you go along and say, "Well, I'm not quite sure about that," then you get into hot water. But actually, they didn't comment the subject matter at all, but just the very, very strange chords. I am a very strange songwriter, so a lot of the chords are very unexpected. And this gave them a lot of fun, I can tell you. Go.
After you did the CD and it was released, what was the reaction, not just from the ham operators, but also the general public?
It was a very interesting thing. You know, you have to know that Lisa and I were fairly well-established singers, songwriters, performers in Denmark. We've played all over the world, but we were quite established in Denmark. And, of course, this album was reviewed by the local newspapers, by the national newspapers in Denmark. Mm-hmm. And one comment, which I think covers it quite nicely, was that one person, I sing a song where I say, "I'm not going to climb up the tower anymore," because I have a 100-foot high tower, which I have to climb up. I still do. And it's, I don't really want to do it. It's not that it's dangerous. It's just that it's, you know, 100 feet is a long way up. I get tired. And this reviewer, he just said, "Why should I be interested in the fact that Andrew doesn't want to climb the tower anymore?" And I'm thinking, you know, if I said, "Oh, baby, I miss you so," you know, why would anybody want to hear about that more than "I don't want to climb up the tower anymore"? Maybe you can answer that, Keith.
I'm not really sure.
When I was young, I used to dream I had the perfect radio shack. Big antennas on a 100-foot tower, a brand new radio and maximum power. I never thought I'd ever get to realise that. Now Jan and me have got the lot, but I'm never on the air at all. Every time I want to check for an hour, something sends me to the top of the tower. From today I'm gonna put a stop to all that, 'cause I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. I told you once, I told you twice, 100 times before. The exercise may do me good, the view may overawe, but I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. That was the seventh time I climbed today. My fingers are all raw, my nose and toes are frozen, and my skinny legs are sore. You can beg and you can bribe me, on your knees you may implore, but I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. I'll just relax and chat to good old friends on the air again.
How are you, Mike? OE6MBD.
Hello, Andrew.
7Q7JL from Lake Malawi.
Nice guy.
Now that's the kind of hamming I can recommend. A comfortable chair, a glass of beer, and a friendly ionosphere. OD5MM, how's Irma today?
Hey, good evening
to you. VU2DK in sunny Bombay.
Thank you very much.
Really great to talk to you again, me old friends. But I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. I told you once, I told you twice, 100 times before. The exercise may do me good, the view may overawe. But I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. That was the 7th time I climbed today. My fingers are all raw. My nose and toes are frozen and my skinny legs are sore. You can beg and you can bribe me, on your knees you may implore. But I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. No, I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. I told you once, I told you twice, 100 times before. The exercise may do me good, the view may overawe. But I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. That was the 7th time I climbed today. My fingers are all raw. My nose and toes are frozen and my skinny legs are sore. You can beg and you can bribe me, on your knees you may implore. But I'm not climbing up the tower anymore. No, I'm not.
I'm not climbing up the tower anymore, the Ham Band here on the Happy Station, and they're my special guest on this edition of the program. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And if you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry, I'll give that out at the end of the program. Now time to continue with our interview with Andrew John and Lisa Landvogt of the Ham Band here on the Happy Station. Andrew, how long have you been a ham? And Lisa, are you also, I wanted to ask you, are you a ham operator yourself?
No, not at all. I'm the radio widow.
The radio widow.
I'm the radio widow. The wife that lets my husband go off into his little shack in the country and have a good time. And okay. I might be different from a lot of the other ham radio guys' wives, because I actually enjoy it when Andrew goes out to play with his mates.
Okay, so because I was going to ask you the question, I was going to ask you the question and say, pretend that Andrew is not there, just between you and me. Do you ever get upset going, look, oh, we have to clean the drains, we have to do this, what is he up to now? Get away from the radio. Do you ever do that?
No, because I do all that work down here at the house anyway. So so no, that's not a problem. I clean the drains and I do it all. And Andrew looks after the radio. Mm-hmm. So that's a fair share of the work, isn't it, Andrew?
Absolutely. And, yeah. And it's absolutely true, because I've got the most fantastic collection of tools and equipment and machines out at the radio shack, which is a little bit outside of our town. And at home, we've got nothing at all. So Lisa has to do everything with her bare hands.
Mm. But I'm a Viking. I'm a Viking, so it's all right.
A lot of experience.
Mm.
Now, Andrew, let me ask you, how long have you been a ham operator?
I was quite a late starter, actually. I was 18 years old before I even got seriously interested. And that was in 1966. And it was a fascinating time, because we had a sunspot maximum, which means that we had an easy contact to places really far away with very, very simple equipment. And I got hooked instantly. And I'm still most fascinated by talking to people on islands a long, long way away, and with where the person at the other end is using very, very modest equipment. And I have a huge antenna and a huge amplifier, and it makes the contact possible. And I know things about places that I will never, ever be able to get to, because you'd be surprised how many places cannot be reached by air at the moment. You know, one of them was the island of St. Helena in the South Atlantic. They don't have an airport and they don't have a harbor. So it's quite difficult to get there, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, when we talked 2 weeks ago, we got into a very long discussion about amateur radio and versus new technology, and something I think that people have seemed to have forgotten about is that even though we live in the super fast age of the internet, and I mean we've seen a lot of cuts even in shortwave, but ham is still in many emergency cases widely used.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and the problem with the modern technology is that you have you've completely stopped using Morse code, for example, in the emergency services, which is a stupidity in itself. Everything is based on mobile phones, everything's based on satellites and the internet. And the problem is, what happens when those things disappear, which they do occasionally, not very often, but in cases of catastrophes, you find that the police, for example, don't have the ability to communicate beyond a very, very short distance. And that's where shortwave is much better. From my my car, I can contact anywhere within about 2,500 to 3,000 kilometers at any time, mm-hmm. whereas none of the emergency services can do that. So it's serious stuff in the sense that if we are worried about the future, then we should preserve this technology. One of the things I tend to mention is that in Sweden, we're not too far from where we are. They have preserved all the steam locomotives. They are preserved, ready for the case when they cannot get fossil fuel for their, or they can't get electricity, so they can just fire up the steam trains. And it's a little bit the same that I think we should preserve amateur radio, because you're going to need it one day, believe me.
Well, you know, something that I'd mentioned to you before, here in Asia Pacific, which is hit quite often by earthquakes in certain areas, and there's always risk of tsunamis. The big tsunami, which happened a couple of years ago, which completely flattened towns and villages in Indonesia and other areas. During that period, the only way to get information to those areas and out of those areas was by ham radio.
Yeah, but it's a simple technology. I just don't understand why I think the military still use a lot of shortwave, but it's only in those particular areas where they are active. And I think the fact that I think we talked a little bit about the wind-up radio and this kind of thing, where you say, "What if everything goes wrong? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to talk to somebody? You know, not just 10 miles away, but 100 or 1,000 miles away," mm-hmm. which is simple with a little radio. I mean, the new radios, they are tiny, tiny. All you need is a piece of wire and a car battery, and you've got regular, reliable contact to anybody within 1,000 miles. So, mm-hmm. But nobody uses it except the radio.
In 2006, I don't know if this made news in Denmark, but just off the coast of Taiwan, there was an earthquake that damaged a fiber optic cable. Now, I don't know if many of our listeners may not know this, but Taiwan is one of the major international hubs for traffic that is then distributed through Asia Pacific and then also North America and Europe. When that cable broke, here in Taiwan, it was virtually impossible to listen to any type of online radio, especially from the big broadcasters that have reduced shortwave. But yet I was able to power on my trusty shortwave radio, and there it was.
But it is amazing. And I know a lot about those fiber optic cables. I know there are a lot of ships actually chartered just to stand by to be ready to intervene in the case of that kind of event. Mm-hmm. So I imagine the repair was made very, very rapidly, but it would still have taken days, I would imagine. I don't know.
It actually took 4 weeks.
Yeah, and that is, you know, a horrific thought. And, you know, my theory is that we're going to have problems with the sunspots next time because of the fact that electronic components are tiny nowadays. So they're much more sensitive to the sun's radiation. So I'm quite worried about a similar thing happening with the satellites in about 4 years. And nobody seems to have made any preparations to counteract this. But I guess we can just lean back and hope there's enough wine in the cellar. Go ahead.
Now it's night, the HF bands are dead, so he's having fun on 40. That's all right, I could just go to bed, but it's his company I miss. If I talk when he's DXing, his anger's quite perplexing, so I guess I'll go to bed instead. Now it's night, I'll make him pull the plug, make him come and sit beside me. Just for spite, I vacuum clean the rug, 'cause it causes QRN. At last, with resignation, he accepts my invitation, smiles and says, ham radio's a drug. Night, he's going QRT, final first, then final final, he checks 10 for freak activity. It's the aurora time of year, soon my smile will lose its luster, still he checks the DX cluster, and then just in time remembers me. It's night, at last his time is mine, warm and cozy by the fire, candlelight, a cheering glass of wine, we stare into the flames. Now we're both in beds of humor, we plan our journey to Rotuma, and in the end the evening turned out fine.
Is there much interest now in ham radio from the younger generation as, let's say, there was maybe 30, 40 years ago? Or is it more challenging to get people interested into the hobby?
It is more challenging in one sense, because there is a tendency that the age groups, it is an aging population. There's no question about it. But at the same time, it's a lot easier to get a license now than it was, which means that a lot of young people do come in and dabble with it. But that's what it's always been. You know, they say there are several million radio hams in Japan, but actually most of them only were interested when they were quite young, like 10, 11, 12 years old, and they lost interest, but they're still on the register of radio hams. But a lot of people have dabbled in it and would know what we're talking about. And this is one of the reasons that our music has been quite popular, is because a lot of people have, you know, the fiddle player, that's what they actually call him, the fiddle player at Nashville. This is the first violin in the Nashville strings. He used to be a radio ham operator, a very clever one, a very fast CW, a Morse operator. He's left the hobby when he was 15 years old. He's now 65. I'm absolutely certain that after we went to Nashville, he's going to pick up the key and continue. So, you know, it's both young and old. It's a great hobby, and you can have some great conversations. One of the strangest things, it's a bit like our interview here. We are doing this via new technology. We're in Denmark, and you're in Taiwan. And the reason, the result of that is that I talk and then you talk. We're not having a true ping pong type thing. And this is one of the things about radio amateurs. They talk and then they shut up and the other person talks. And it's a skill. It's a skill which the young people have to learn.
The other thing I think that a lot of people would be surprised about is that for ham radio operators, there's even like a list of like a a who's who list. I mean, like, well-known people. I mean, Marlon Brando was a very active ham operator. And just recently in the news, there was a lot of coverage about the death and the passing away of Walter Cronkite. He was also a ham radio operator, which is something that probably a lot of people didn't know. Are there any others that you can think of?
Well, the surprising one was Elvis Presley's wife. I think she was called Priscilla. She is. And the chap, Chet Atkins, yeah, the guitar player. He was a very, very keen radio ham. And the King of Spain and the King of Jordan, who is now no longer with us, but he was a very active radio ham. And his wife, I've talked to the King of Jordan's wife while she was flying in the private jet to England. And it's fascinating that just one or two of these people can make a big difference to the interest in, you know, Joe Walsh from the Eagles. He's also a fanatical radio ham. And it's just nice to get this extra bit of, not many politicians, I have to say. Barry Goldwater, but that's a long time ago. But not very many politicians. I don't know what that tells you about politicians.
I think we shouldn't get into that subject. You know, just recently I interviewed an author who wrote three books about international broadcasting, and he sent me a newspaper clip from the 1930s about Eddie Startz, who created the Happy Station in the late 20s. And Eddie was, it was an interview that was done with Eddie probably around 1937 or 1938. And Eddie was talking about an experience where there was a Dutch politician who was off in the United States whose mother had become very ill. And on the Happy Station, he made an announcement, if there's any radio hams out there that can put the call out to locate this guy to inform him that his mother was ill. And the outcome of the story is that he was able to return to Holland 5 days later through getting information from one ham being passed to the next and so on and so on. And that's how they located him.
But it's just like the real life, you know, that we all are very close in connection with the whole population of the world. But we, as radio hams, have learned a certain skill, which is how to get relevant information. You know, just the fact that instead of trying to spell something, we can say Mike, Oscar, Bravo, or whatever. It's just simple skills like that which you learn when you're a Boy Scout or a Girl Guide, and you forget. But just how many times have we been on the phone to somebody who's trying to buy something or sell something, and you cannot understand what the other person is saying? How simple it is to just say Mike, Oscar, Bravo, and so on. Mm-hmm. And to be able to keep to the point when you're on the air and to keep silent when it's not your turn, it's just a discipline, and it's a valuable discipline. I cannot understand why in the ex-Soviet Union, amateur radio was regarded as a sport in parallel or with the same status as football, because it's a great discipline for young people to learn how to do important things. Running around kicking a ball may be quite important, but you can't use it for very much else than running around and kicking a ball. Whereas if you become a radio ham, you would be able to save people in a lot of critical situations just by the discipline of having learnt how to communicate efficiently.
Do you get a lot of, say, not hams, but just shortwave listeners that will send in reception reports to you?
I personally don't get any. I don't know why that is, but it's very strange, because I get thousands and thousands of QSL cards from all over the world. But I very, very rarely received shortwave listener reports. And I think this is to do with the fact that the available shortwave radios are not particularly well designed. For if you're listening to broadcast stations on the shortwaves, it's not always that good for listening to single sideband, which is what we use. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a lot of shortwave listeners don't learn Morse.
So, you know, Morse is the most effective way of communicating. But that must be the reason, I think, that it's difficult to resolve the radio ham conversations. And I guess people just give up.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that ham radio and DXing could in some way... Because it's sort of like they're using the same kind of technology. They're using shortwave, but there always seems to be this separation between amateur radio operators and DXers. Has it ever been brought up at some time in the past that maybe these two groups should join forces to not just promote ham radio, but also to promote shortwave listening?
I would imagine that the main problem is that shortwave listening is a sort of passive way of enjoying what's happening on shortwaves. And you asked me about why, how, you know, what kind of radio hams can be rather uninteresting people to talk to. And this is because it is a two-way communication, but if you've got nothing to say, you've got nothing to say. Now, a lot of shortwave listeners probably don't have anything they need or want or have to say. They want to receive information. And that's why they listen to the broadcast stations and they get the information they want. I progressed beyond that and began to listen to the radio teletype, the news agencies on shortwave. This is another form of shortwave listening. And there's a lot of this kind of technology as well. But the essence of it is, are you going to input something yourself or is it just one-way communication? And the problem, I think, is that when radio hams have got as far as actually passing the exam and actually getting the equipment and the antennas, then they think that they would rather inspire the shortwave listener to become a ham than to try to understand what the shortwave listener is actually enjoying. That's my opinion.
We're the ham band and we play that country music morning, noon and evening and the middle of the night. Come and hear the ham band when we're in your location, or else we'll come and get you. Won't give up without a fight. We'll seek you all through the night,
seek you every day,
and seek and find you we will,
seek you
don't dismay. You know the hunt is the thrill,
seek
the price you pay. We'll seek you over those hills and far away. We're the ham band and you heard it on the grapevine. Lock your sons and daughters up, the sun is going down. Come and join the party, forget about the grey line. Work the extra morrow when the ham band's out. We'll seek you all through the night,
seek you
every day. We'll seek and find you, we will,
seek you don't dismay.
You know the hunt is the thrill,
seek the price
and play. We'll seek you over those hills and far away. Seek and find you, we will.
Seek
you, don't dismay. You know the hunt is the thrill,
seek
the price you pay. We'll seek you all on those hills and far away. We'll seek you all through the night
and every
day. We'll seek and find you, we will.
Seek you, don't dismay.
You know the hunt is the thrill,
seek the price you pay.
We'll seek you all on those hills and far away.
When you met Andrew and you found that he was a radio ham, did you have this idea in your head? Did you think, oh no, radio hams, all they do is sit in their little shack, they're antisocial, they don't want to associate with anybody unless they're talking on ham?
No, at that point, I don't think I'd ever heard about a radio ham. I didn't know what it was. But what Andrew did was that he had his radio in our bedroom. So I would go to bed and he would sit in the bedroom and talk to his friends. And I thought that was very cozy, like falling asleep to the television, I think. I thought it was very cozy.
But have you talked to some of Andrew's friends on ham radio before?
I'm supposed to say no, because I don't have any license, but I have. I have talked to some of them on the air, but I have met some of them as well. We have some good friends in. We met a good friend on Fiji Islands, and we've got a couple of very good friends in Austria, and on the Faroe Islands. So I have met a lot of the friends, but only talked to them very, very shortly, and very, very illegally on the radio.
You know, I was just looking at your website, Lisa, and you also have a CD called Iaftin, which I'm probably not pronouncing correctly, but it's made up of traditional, not just traditional, but Danish songs from the 1930s and 40s that was also recorded in Nashville. When you went to Nashville to record the Seeking You CD, was this one that you also recorded at the same time, or was this at a separate session?
I think this was at a separate session. We went to the States to record the Danish CD, and it was actually very interesting, because when that was the first Danish recording we made in Nashville, and I remember the drummer when we had made a very primitive recording of each of the songs, just to let the musicians know sort of the tempo and the atmosphere and the song. And then the drummer called me over and said, "Could you please translate it simultaneously, so I know what this song is about, so I can have this in mind when I play the drums to the song." Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty amazing, that an American drummer wanted to know the Danish lyrics to the song. I thought it was amazing.
Do you come from a musical background?
Not particularly. I mean, my mother was a school teacher, and my dad was a metal worker. But my mother, her first education was actually playing the church organ. And there was a lot of music in the family, but not sort of like symphony style. But my mother's family was very fond of music.
Have you been pushing it all, Andrew, to maybe both of you to start working on another CD about ham radio?
We had considered it, but it's actually quite difficult because we covered just about everything. There's very few things. It was very lucky that the new technology, there's something called the packet cluster. This is the way that we use digital modes to inform us what's happening on the short waves, and that had already developed when we did this album. So, to be absolutely honest, not a lot has happened since. And I think, you know, 12 songs, with the old English expression, it would be flogging a dead horse to do it again. So I don't think we will, but there are certain. I did actually do one more song, which is on the website at hamband.com. It will teach you Morse code, and it will tell you every single chord that it is possible to play. So go and have a listen to that.
Lisa, here's another question for you that just came to mind. Do you have a club of wives of radio amateur radio operators, and the wives get together and complain about their husbands?
Not that I know of. I think I'll just go out and do my own things when Andrew goes off in the weekend to do his competitions. I don't know that many. I know only a couple of radio hams. And not even their wives. So,
right.
Yeah, but I don't know if the hams in the club, whether their wives have a sort of a social thing. I don't know. For me, it was never a club problem, because Andrew and I, we are musicians and we work together and we do translations. So we work together, and we do a lot of our work from home. So we're home 24 hours a day, and so whenever one of us wants to go out and do his and her own thing, the other one sighs a sigh of relief, don't we, Andrew?
I have to say that in Canada, there is an organization for wives of, for female radio hams, not for the wives of radio hams. The idea that the wives get together, no, I don't think so. I think it is such a bone of contention. I don't think they like it.
And I was speaking there with Andrew John and Lisa Leidenfogd of the Ham Band, my special guests on this edition of the Happy Station Show. And if you want to find out more information about the Ham Band, check out their website, www.hamband.com. That's www.hamband.com. Now, I have three copies of their CD, Seeking You, to give away to three lucky listeners. And all you need to do is send me an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And write maybe two or three sentences about your experience with ham radio. You don't even have to be a ham radio operator. It could be maybe you just tuning in one day to the Ham Band. So again, if you want to have a chance to win one of three copies that I have of the CD Seeking You Amateur Radio Songs, send me an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com, and please be sure to include your address. Our postal address for those who wish to write us by a snail mail is The Happy Station, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Section 1, Sanmin Road, Banqiao, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC 22070. And of course, if you didn't have time to write that down, because I don't have time to give it out a second time, you can log on to the website for WRMI at www.wrmi.net. Okay, coming up very soon on the show, we have a number of other special guests who are going to join us. We have Bob McGrath and Steve Lawrence coming up very soon on the show, so stay tuned for that. And for those who are listening to the podcast version right now, you may notice something different about this program. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but let's see if you can find out, all right? And if you do, let me know with the same address that I gave you earlier. Anyway, on behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, and our production assistant, Johan Backer, this is Keith Perron all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, wishing you well. And we'll see you again next week at 100 and 1500 UTC for more of The Happy Station. So until next time, friends, so long. Au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
This is The Happy Station.
That's what happiness is. Happiness is. Different things to different people. That's what happiness is.
Happiness is The Happy Station, bringing you some weekly peace, cheer, and joy. Remember that? Hello, I'm Keith Perron, and I hope that you will join me Thursdays at 1 and 15 hours UTC for The Happy Station and La Estación de la Alegría, right here via Radio Miami International.
Happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is.